Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A motion picture that caught my attention some time ago has a memorable scene in which a teenage son confronts his father. The boy exclaims, "I want you to listen to me. I mean, really listen to me." I was reminded of this exchange when I read the recent book on St. Mark by our former Archbishop Rowan Williams. He says that above all, his aim in writing is to help us to listen to the various ways in which Mark is challenging us. The greatest challenge of all, it seems, is to listen, really listen. For the disciples to listen to Jesus and for us to listen to Mark, to our friends, and dare I say it, even to sermons about Mark. Mark's gospel is a story of a relationship between Jesus and his disciples. What is striking about their relationship is that the disciples again and again fail to understand Jesus. They see what he does. They hear what he says, but they do not begin to understand until he is crucified. It is not as if he hadn't tried. Mark starts his story with the call of Jesus to all who seek such a relationship, to, as it is usually translated, repent. A better translation, I think, suggests that the call is to change one's mind. If we really listen, every relationship with friends, with our loved ones, changes the way we think, especially as our relationships grow and deepen. It is so very difficult, it seems, to listen, to hear, to understand what others tell us, and sometimes to pay attention to even what we try to tell ourselves. Now, I'm a poor one to talk about listening, as the occupational hazard for those of us who preach is we find that it's much easier to talk than to listen. But over the years, I have come to realize that I think I know myself, but I don't, at least not yet. I really do need to listen to myself. I've come to realize that I think I know my friends and loved ones, but I don't. I really need to listen to them. I think I know the Jesus of Mark's gospel, but I don't. I really need to keep trying to listen to what Mark is saying. I have also come to realize that every time I think I do listen and understand, I'm led to change my mind. Williams writes about the gospel, "It is a book which repeats on every page that summons to metanoia, to a change of mind." Why, I ask myself, do I find listening and changing so difficult? One obstacle I know well, and it doesn't prevent my hearing, but does prevent my changing. Certainly ever since I was 16, my body has been telling me things I don't want to hear. That summer, I told myself that I was perfectly capable of paddling a canoe with my aunt and two younger sisters through very high wind and surf on Georgian Bay, despite knowing really that I was not. I was wrong. A huge wave dashed our canoe on a rock. We all survived, but I did not change. And almost 70 years later, continuing to ignore my body's voice, I attempted to climb a rocky peak on the island of Maui, which I should never have done. Thanks to divine providence or dumb luck, here I am, ready to fail to listen or change yet again. I think I know the problem. My desire to be independent and in charge prevents me from wanting to hear and to change. I suspect my desire for independence and control also plays a part in making listening and changing more difficult in my relationships with others as well. Most of the time, however, I think I really do want to listen to what my friends and loved ones are telling me. What gets in the way of hearing far too often, it seems, is that my assumption that since I've known them so long and so well, there will be nothing new to listen for. I vividly remember when my spouse first challenged that assumption. It was on that first Christmas after our marriage. Having been good friends already, I thought I knew her, her interests and her tastes. I thought I knew them very well and how they matched my own. That night at our friend's house in Denmark, when we were alone, she said that much as she loved the books I had given her as Christmas presents, she was not happy that I had failed to think of an inexpensive bit of Danish jewelry to go along with them. Thank goodness she told me. There was time for me to find something when we returned to Copenhagen a few days later. I'm completely uninterested in jewelry of any kind, but for the following 53 Christmases, I always found a piece of costume jewelry, and every year, whatever I found, I think she would probably be applauding upstairs right now, too. I found, whatever I found, always seemed perfectly acceptable. I had listened and heard, not that our relationship depended upon gifts of jewelry, but that she was her own person with her own interests and tastes. She was not an extension of me. I changed my mind, not that I had realized that it needed changing. Fortunately for me and our relationship, she never ceased telling me to listen, really listen, because what is really being said may not be expressed in so many words and may be expressed in so many different ways, including in parables or metaphors. In Mark's gospel, one finds examples of every problem with listening. Unwillingness to listen, for example, is there in the reactions to predictions of the crucifixion, or thinking the other is like oneself is expressed in the request of James and John for seats of honor. Two obstacles to listening I find illustrated by the story of the widow's mite in today's reading. One is the familiarity of the story. How many times have I read it or listened to it being read on Sunday mornings? My eyes glaze over. I suspect we all experience this reaction, and the older a friend's story or the longer we've been going to church, the more we say to ourselves, I've heard that one before. You remember the joke about the community whose members had known each other so long they knew each other's jokes simply by number. Are we very far from that with respect to the stories from St. Mark? Familiarity prevents our listening for something we might have missed, something new behind those familiar words. Might not the disciples by this time be conscious of familiarity with this episode as well? How often has Jesus used references to the scribes as those who don't get it, compared with the poor and physically impaired who do? I suspect some of their eyes rolled even as he began to talk to them, as mine tend to do whenever politicians begin to speak. Of course, whenever eyes roll, we basically stop listening. A problem with familiarity in Mark is that it arises from a focus on single episodes without thinking of their place in the longer, more complex story of the relationship between Jesus and his disciples. My ties to friends and loved ones are also marked by many oft-repeated rituals, each so familiar I no longer reflect on them. But they are isolated moments. The annual ritual of a Christmas gift became just that, a ritual, and I no longer listen to hear if there might be anything new. By dividing Mark's story into brief, familiar episodes, we make it very difficult to listen for what Mark seems to tell us about the whole story. I have to make the effort to remind myself that it is about a relationship, and that over and over again, he reminds his readers how personal actions, even very good ones, do not earn us the relationships we long for. He tells us that Jesus himself forbade anyone talking about his healings or his miracles. He wants friends to be friends, not for what he does, but for who he is. No good deeds are good enough to earn friends. If one gives, for example, wants to give everything. If one is to follow the rules, wants to follow not the letter, but the very heart of the rule. Yes, even if it means tearing out one's eyes or cutting off one's hand. Mark is not suggesting that rules are bad so much as trying to tell us that relationships that matter have nothing to do with earning points by their observance. My relationship with my spouse in no way depended upon my buying jewelry, even if it had been a most expensive diamond. In fact, that would probably have indicated that I wasn't listening. Jesus did not earn his relationship with his disciples by what he did, nor by what he said, but by being Jesus. And the same certainly holds for the disciples. Like ties to children, true relationships do not require resumes. Our widow is good, but does not express a faith in Jesus, nor does she follow him. Her story also provides an example of another obstacle to listening. I find that once I think I have listened and understood, I need not go on. Listening becomes an event and not an ongoing process. Is there a moment when I know Mark and can stop listening? There was a moment when I thought I now knew myself and could stop listening. I had finished writing my autobiography. There was nothing more to add. But the past 2 years have told me that I was mistaken. I'm still discovering, thanks to relationships. Jesus in Mark never tells his disciples who he thought he was, and it's only at the end, under questioning by the high priest, do we read his answer. He says, in effect, "I am who I am." That's not the end of understanding. It's an invitation to begin the exploration. Every significant human relationship is the mutual exploration that follows from both parties starting from that point. Mark wrote what he called the good news, the gospel. And if we listen, we know that what the good news is. It is Jesus. Not some information about him, but simply the person himself. I think Mark is telling us that whenever we find those who are to us what Jesus was to those disciples, we are finding him in them. One of those whom I found was my tutor at the theological college, Peter. He used to deliver sermons at chapel that my wife and I called a Peter sermon. He raised issues, seldom solving them. At some point, he abruptly stopped talking, leaving us puzzled to continue to think about what he'd been saying. Mark does the same in his gospel. He simply breaks off the story, telling us that Jesus was going on before his disciples. Finding myself, finding others, finding him in relationships is not and was not an event, but a process. A process that does not end. So I keep trying to listen, and when I continue to really listen, I continue to change. Amen.